The Absent-Minded Coterie, written by Robert Barr, read by Charles Hammond.
Some years ago, I enjoyed the unique experience of pursuing a man for one crime and getting evidence against him of another. He was innocent of the misdemeanor, the proof of which I sought, but was guilty of another, most serious offence, yet he and his confederates escaped scot-free in circumstances which I now propose to relate. You may remember that in Rudyard Kipling's story, Bedalia Herodsfoot, the unfortunate woman's husband ran the risk of being arrested as a simple drunkard at a moment when the blood of murder was upon his boots. The case of Ralph Summertrees was rather the reverse of this. The English authorities were trying to fasten upon him a crime almost as important as murder, while I was collecting evidence which proved him guilty of an action much more momentous than that of drunkenness. The English authorities have always been good enough, when they recognize my existence at all, to look down upon me with amused condescension. If today you ask Spencer Hale of Scotland Yard what he thinks of Eugene Valmont, that complacent man will put on the superior smile which so well becomes him, and if you are a very intimate friend of his, he may draw down the lid of his right eye as he replies, "Oh, yes, a very decent fellow, Valmont, but he's a Frenchman." As if that said, there was no need of further inquiry. Myself, I like the English detective very much, and if I were to be in a melee tomorrow, there is no man I would rather find beside me than Spencer Hale. In any situation where a fist that can fell an ox is desirable, my friend Hale is a useful companion. But for intellectuality, mental acumen, finesse, ah, well, I am the most modest of men, and will say nothing. It would amuse you to see this giant come into my room during an evening, on the bluff pretence that he wishes to smoke a pipe with me. There is the same difference between this good-natured giant and myself, as exists between that strong black pipe of his and my delicate cigarette, which I smoke feverishly when he is present, to protect myself from the fumes of his terrible tobacco. I look with delight upon the huge man, who, with an air of the utmost good humour and a...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?